Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Good morning, millennials. Welcome back to the Morning Toast. Happy Monday. Acknowledge the space that you're in. Rise and grind today. It's a Monday, but we're alive. And we've already been so productive this morning that I kind of feel good. Like, let's hit this Monday hard. And it's also a short week. So, like, how really mad can we be?
I know. We have a long holiday weekend coming up, everyone. So acknowledge that space. And we're going to rise and grind until it's the long weekend. But we did rise and we did grind this morning because we recorded an interview, which is going to be at the end of this episode, so we can tell you on the show, with the girls from the Bold Type.
We've got Aisha. We've got Katie, we've got Megan, we've got all three
Bold Type girls. So, like, we, the five of us, I would say we were the Bold Type.
We were being quite bold.
We were being extremely bold. And if you are a fellow Bold Typer, then today's episode is for you, because ahead of their premiere on May 26th, we're sitting down with them about the final season, and they were just, like, so nice and sweet. It was such a treat.
It was a true delight. So if you're going to listen, it's at the end of this podcast episode. If you want to watch the video we recorded with them via Zoom, it's up on our YouTube channel. Just, like, was really grateful for the opportunity.
Yes, extremely grateful. I feel like my outfit today is, like, extremely Bold Type.
Very Jane.
It's very, right? She loves
a bold sleeve.
A bold everything. And so when I got dressed this morning, I definitely had that in mind.
Yeah, I forgot that, like, you know,
that they're fashion girlies.
No, I knew that, but I was just like, it didn't occur to me to, like, join them on their fashion journey. So I just looked like a regular person.
I do try to always dress in theme for our guests, but we're recording another interview today that will be up on tomorrow's episode, so we're not going to spoil it yet. And so I had to dress for both guests. Yeah. And, like, when you know who the next guest is, you're going to know that it was really hard for me to not put all my eggs in that basket.
I know. And I appreciate and I commend your bravery. I really do.
Someone's got to do it. Oh, bless you.
Excuse me. I haven't sneezed on the podcast in a while.
You sneezed on it means I'm truly brave.
Truly. We have a great show for you guys. A lot happened over the weekend. There was SNL, the BBMAs, Kaylor's birthday. Like, there was just a lot of things happening that we just cannot wait to discuss.
Yeah, it was a nice weekend, though. I feel like I had a lot of weekend. I feel like I got a lot of time with the family. I read a lot. I finished my book, The Romanov Empress. It felt so long, but it was just as long as anything else that I read. And it was really good. So if you're looking for, like, a great history of Russia from 1860 to 1920, The Romanov Empress, the story of Maria Fyodorovna.
I am always looking for a nice
brief history
of the Romanov Empire from 1860 to 1920. So the next time I'm searching for that, I will definitely pick that up.
Yeah, because it's like you get the history, but in a snack. Well, it's not snackable because it was long, but in a, like, through the lens of one extraordinary woman.
I too had a very robust weekend. Lots of family time. I went out on Saturday night and just, like, got so drunk. Like, I was hungover until I went to bed last night. Like,
you
really
were?
Bad.
Like, I guess we didn't really chat that much yesterday because I didn't know.
It was really, really bad. Like, I went to bed at 10 o'clock. I had, like, a splitting headache. It was one of my worst hangovers to date.
Wow. Was it worth it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't have anything to do yesterday either.
But was the night fun?
Yeah, like, it was whatever. I was just, like, desperate for a good time. Like, I went to a party like I normally would have left upon arriving at, you know? But, of course, I stayed for, like, 3 hours. I was just, like, really wanting to get drunk and, like, hang out.
Well, you know, you did it.
And I'm fine with it.
And you did just that.
And now I'm going to take it easy this week before the big weekend. And it's probably time we let you guys know. I know it's a long weekend, but of course we make a long weekend longer.
Even longer.
So our last show of the week will be Thursday, and then we'll be back on Wednesday because we just have, like, things to do. I'm going to go on a boat. You know, like, I have big MDW plans.
Yeah, no, it's really my fault because I have to be out of town. I have a wedding.
Jackie has a wedding. So, like, I then took a vacation on the days that you were going to be gone.
Yeah, so we'll be back on Wednesday.
It sounds really long when you say it, like, Thursday to Wednesday, but everyone's off for the most part, like, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
Yes, exactly. So we just took one extra day.
One extra day.
Which we needed to take. So we'll give you extra content this week to get you through. Lots of interviews, lots of Patreon. Speaking of, I uploaded my What I Eat in a Day vlog to the Patreon, and I think people are really, really enjoying it. I know that you did.
I actually really did, and I do believe it goes without saying that before watching the video, Jackie's not a doctor.
She's
not recommending this for anyone. This is just what she
I'm
does.
I'm not a doctor. I'm just a vlogger, so I have to show you what I eat in a day.
And honestly, people get those two confused a lot.
100%, but like, if you're not a vlogger if you're not showing people what you eat in a day.
And you're not a doctor if you're not a vlogger.
100%. And I find what other people eat in a day like so interesting. So, because you just get like good ideas from other people too. So I filmed that.
And if anybody wants me to record one, it will be 3 hours long because I just like eat so much in a day.
I would love for you to record one.
You know what? It's like actually embarrassing because like the video would be 5 minutes. Like I have a chewy bar in the morning and I don't eat anything till dinner. And then I eat 4,000 calories for dinner. Like that's just me.
Yeah. I would be curious. And also, when you start to have to film, like, what you eat in a day, it's kind of like when you have to, like, input your...
accountability.
Like, into Noom or something. You really start, like, paying attention. You're like, should I eat that? Or I'm going to have to put it on the vlog.
Right.
So I definitely had one of my best days because of the vlog. So thank you guys for holding me accountable.
So the vlog was basically, like, your Teddy Mellencamp.
100%. 100%. If you want to eat well, just vlog it every day.
Okay. Good thing I don't want
to
eat well.
But then you also have to, like, post it, too, and nobody wants to watch that. So.
No. Well, we have a great show for you guys today. Lots to discuss, lots to recap. I'm so excited to talk about SNL. Like, I have so many thoughts. So I just feel like, why not?
Get right into it.
Yeah, do you have anything else to say?
I feel like I always have something to say.
We want to wish a very happy birthday to Magnolia. Today is Magnolia's first birthday.
Happy birthday, Knowles. Bruno's girlfriend. He's looking to take you to dinner tonight, so keep your calendar open.
We love you, Magnolia, even though Magnolia's mom, Mauro, never watches this show. So... this is falling upon deaf ears.
Yes, but we're just so happy Magnolia's turned one and we couldn't wish for anything better for her.
And you know what? She's really like a really good girl.
She's a good girl.
And so I'm really proud. Like she's had a really hard first year. Margo keeps her in line. Like Margo is the strictest dog mom ever. But look at Magnolia. She's really like a great dog.
Yeah. Speaking of dogs, I have a Bruno update that I don't know. I told you and like you really were like shook by it. And so was I when I
forgot
I found
what
out.
It was.
That Bruno, I weighed him this weekend.
Oh.
Bruno weighed 16 pounds, you guys. I just feel like that's a lot of Brew.
It is, especially because my frame of reference is Theo, who I believe weighs somewhere around 25 pounds. So you cannot tell me that Bruno only weighs 9 pounds less than Theo.
No, it was kind of shocking, but I was just like, the more the merrier.
And then it's also shocking because 16 pounds is like, you would think like, lifting weights or something. Like, yes. 16 pounds is, like, nothing.
No, but, like, if you pick up a 15-pound dumbbell, no, that feels, like, really heavy. But compared to Brew, I don't know. I just thought everyone should know that.
Make it make sense.
Brew is growing into just a lovely young man.
Growing.
He does it every day. He's growing in the evening. And even when we play and when we grow a little taller, we can do more things because we're growing.
I didn't know the other half of the song. Sorry.
Excuse me. Okay, we can get into everything. I don't have SNL as a story, so you'll have to slot that in somewhere.
You don't?
No.
Why? Everyone's quaking.
About what?
You know, it was the final episode of the season. People were curious if certain cast members were going to be announcing that they're leaving. None of them did, but like, well, I guess we could just get into it right now.
Yeah, just tell us your thoughts quickly. I just like, it's not going to be a story. Unless Elon Musk is hosting, it's not going to be a story.
Oh, that's so funny because I literally thought it was the best episode all season. I was in hysterics. And yes, when I'm hungover, I'm more susceptible to laugh at your jokes because I'm like just... generous like that, but I thought it was hysterical. I thought I learned so much about Anya Taylor-Joy. Like, she's first of all like so stunning, but we already knew that. I didn't know that like Spanish was her first language. She grew up in Miami. She had a very unique accent. It was like American but like not. She grew up in Argentina. Like, she was just this woman of the world, and I didn't know anything about her. She acted so well in all of the sketches. There were so many funny sketches. And Weekend Update, they do my favorite thing, which is at the end of every season, they write jokes for each other.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, they blindly have to read jokes that the other one wrote for them. And, of course, like, Michael Che always makes the jokes or Colin Jost, like, really racist. So, it was so funny. It was a great episode. And Lil Nas X was unbelievable. Like, I just think he's so talented. And he ripped his pants on stage.
I saw the headlines. Everyone's, like, quaking.
I thought he was great. And you know what? It really just, like... I was thinking when I was watching him, like, he really has created, like, an entirely new genre. Like, I don't even know what I would call his music. Like, it's so different. And, like, his aesthetic is so different. And I just thought he was great. And I thought it was a really good episode. And now a lot of people are speculating. It's the final season. Like, who's leaving? Who's staying?
Because there was an emotional moment.
There was an emotional moment at the beginning of the episode with Aidy, Kate McKinnon, Cecily Strong, and Keenan. And everyone... well, Cecily got kind of choked up, and the whole vibe of the show, I was getting like the impression that Cecily was going to leave, which I am so excited for. Like, I actually think she's the least funny person like on the entire show, and that's saying a lot. And also they gave her like this big tribute thing at the end of Weekend Update. So it was kind of just, it felt like her send off. Like, she didn't say or do anything. It just had those vibes. And I endorsed, like, I think that is fully the right decision. And then Pete Davidson came out on Weekend Update and just made like a weirdly sentimental, conclusive kind of speech. Like, this has been so fun. Thank you so much for letting me grow up in front of you guys. Bye. Like, it was like, I will not be surprised if he leaves.
Yeah, it's honestly surprising that he's still there.
I mean, especially because he's never there. Like, he doesn't, he was literally in one sketch and it was actually pretty funny. But I really feel like they need to clean house, like, in a lot. And they need to, like, start promoting other people. Like, I feel like Beck Bennett, like, is actually really funny and he deserves, like, more airtime.
Yeah.
I really do not think Melissa Villaseñor is funny, like, at all. And I wouldn't mind seeing her go. It almost feels like she, like, does certain impressions and, like, forces them to make her do it on Weekend Update. Like, I just don't, I don't find her funny at all. I do not find Cecily Strong funny at all. I think that Keenan is great. Keenan should stay. I think if Keenan or Kate McKinnon leave, like, the show is fucked. Like, they're, like, the actual, like, celebrity, like, stars, like, that come from SNL, like, Kristen Wiig or whoever. So I don't know what they will do if either one of them leave. And I don't think either one of them is going to leave.
You don't think, but people think.
People are speculating that Kate McKinnon is leaving. Mm-hmm. I don't think she is.
Okay, interesting. I agree. They could use a little bit of a shakeup and the ratings stay the same.
Yeah, and just like some of the people who've been on for a few years, like, they just didn't take off. Like Heidi Gardner, like, she's funny, but like she didn't, she's like not unique enough in my opinion.
Got it.
So I just feel like a lot of people who have been there for, like, and they really need to make the show the Bowen and Chloe Fineman show. Like, they are the future of this show and they're hysterical.
Yeah.
So that's my thoughts.
Okay, cool. I only watched the one sketch, Barn, because you and I need to go
there. You guys, I lost my mind. That was maybe one of the best sketches I've seen in like the last 10 years. When they said a bra is for boobies and a bra is for breasts, I was crying. And then when they held up their two bras, I'm like, I literally have that bra. Like, they were like, strapped so wide, they're a pair of jeans. It was so fucking funny and so accurate. And when they gave Jill Zarin a shout out, like, it was just everything. That was a brilliant sketch.
Yes. Okay, well, I might watch the rest of the episode.
It was very good.
Now that you've raved about it.
Yeah.
Okay, so now without further ado, where are you? Right here, sleeping, being a precious boy. It is time for the Fast Five stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast. While you listen to the sweet sounds.
No one can hear it.
While you listen to the sweet sounds of construction.
We are so excited that today's episode is brought to you by Olive & June, the Manny System, the answer to salon perfect nails at home. Olive & June polishes last over 7 days and they do not chip. With the Manny System, each at-home manicure comes out to just $2, and we have a special link for you to shop at oliveandjune.com, because the hardest thing about doing your nails yourself is that you can't. You've tried, they look like they've been painted by a five-year-old, and salon manicures are so expensive. Oh my God, I went to a manicure a few weeks ago. My place, I guess, you know, tough times because of COVID. Manicure, gel manicures at my nail salon now are $60.
Whoa.
So I've been forced to find other options, and Olive and June has really saved my life. The Olive and June manicure system shows you what DIY manis should look like, and that it's possible to have your polish last chip-free for over 7 days. The system comes with all the tools you need. Honestly, the best part of the whole kit is the little tools. The cuticle oil is absolutely everything of the sort. Of course, it comes with a nail file, but it also comes with a nail buffer, which is just as important and constantly forgotten. Mm-hmm. The polishes are beautiful colors. They're all very pleany, but also the polishes come with this, what would you call it? It's like, it's a silicone adapter that you put on top of the polish bottles that really keep your hands steady and you can move it from bottle to bottle. It's really great.
Yeah, it helps you do a steady manicure. It's like training nails for a manicure.
The Manny system comes with six polishes, so it breaks down to just $2 a manicure when you used to spend at least $35 for one gel manicure, and in my new place, $60. Our nails have never looked better, and we did them ourselves. So get your new nail life. And if you want to get 20% off your first Manny system, it is code TOAST at oliveandjune.com. Again, that's oliveandjune.com. The code is TOAST, and you can get 20% off your first manicure system when you use the promo code TOAST at oliveandjune.com. We are done with expensive bad manicures.
We are. They have the pleaniest colors, and the game is forever changed.
Truly.
We're doing manicures at home now. Like, yeah. Now that we can, we will.
Get in the car. We're going
home. Code TOAST. Get in the car. We're doing our nails at home. Okay, first story. Are you ready? It's the global story. it's...
Is it Eurovision?
It's Eurovision. Okay. It's truly global. Eurovision winners, Maine Skin, agree to a drug test after cocaine allegations. Okay, this is a crazy turn of events.
Let's backtrack. Most people in America do not know what Eurovision is, and I honestly didn't know about it until last year when Brian got tickets and we went in Tel Aviv.
Like, yes, and I think for the first time ever, it was... Broadcast on Peacock, so you could watch it in America. And
which we did
all of Saturday watching Eurovision, the longest it was show so long. Of all time. But it's a talent show.
A global talent show for every European country. Yes. It's like the Olympics. Everyone gets to submit one act. They write original songs. They perform them all weekend. They cut to finalists. And on Saturday was the finale. 26 countries performed. One is the winner. It was Italy.
And if you watch, then you're genuinely shocked by Italy being the winner.
Like, when the scores were coming in and like all the points were going to Italy and Switzerland and France. France deserved it. Italy and Switzerland, I'm like, are you serious? Like, I thought this was a talent-based competition, so I was kind of confused.
Yeah, no, it was definitely based on nothing other than, I don't know, friendships. Like,
right,
I have no idea why these people voted the way that they voted.
Politics.
But is it political? Do you really? I was wondering as I was watching, because, like, the way these countries were voting made no fucking sense. Like,
no, literally, like, justice for Malta.
Justice for Malta.
Malta was so clearly the winner from... And Israel was in, and I, of course, wanted Israel to win, and even I knew that Malta should have won. Like, Malta was everything. Everyone on Twitter was like, it's literally Maltese Lizzo. Like, she had such an amazing voice, such energy.
Such a great song,
and she had, like, her girl dancers. Like, it was just powerful.
Yeah, there were so many, like, great acts.
And Sweden.
Italy didn't even...
Cross my mind.
Wouldn't even be top 15. Actually, might have been bottom five for me.
Agreed.
Which was shocking. So, anyways, they won based on whatever credentials these people voted on.
Based on policy.
Yeah, and then also they got the fan votes. Like, no, they didn't. And Malta, like, didn't get a lot of fan votes. Yes,
well, Malta's
she did.
So small, and of course, like, the bigger countries are at a bigger advantage. They have more people to vote for them. It's a really big deal in Europe. Like, people wait up all night and they vote. Like, it's a huge deal. So, of course, you're going to vote for your home country, and I just don't think there are that many... voters from Malta.
Yeah, perhaps. But that's why the judge votes could yes. really help. But anyways, in a strange twist of events, the Italian glam rock band that won the Eurovision Song Contest returned home Sunday to the adulation of fans, congratulations from the government, and so much speculation that the lead singer had snorted cocaine during the show that now he's vowed to take a drug test. He said, "We want to shut down the rumors spread on social media after he was seen bending over a table during the Saturday Night Live TV broadcast." There's a photo of it, a video of it. It really does look like he's doing cocaine on
it
TV.
It really does.
So, in order to squash the rumors and not take away from their win, he is going to do a drug test.
Well, I think, I mean, I saw the picture and I was like, you cannot tell me that this man was not doing cocaine. But if you agree to a drug test and it's not even mandatory, because I think, let's say he was tested positive for drugs, I don't think he would get his...
Disqualified.
No, he wouldn't. So I just think he wants to salvage his reputation.
Yes.
Which I understand, but he doesn't have to submit to this drug test. So the fact that he is makes me think that he wasn't.
Right, because
but he the picture...
He could just let these like rumors fly and it's just like this funny thing. But the fact that he's going so far out of the way makes me feel like, okay, maybe not. And I don't think it would disqualify him in any way. This isn't the Kentucky Derby.
Right, no, it's not like a sport.
He's not Medina Spirit.
Right, so I don't know... But I think the fact that he is agreeing to do it when literally like nobody's asking him to makes me think he's innocent. But that picture is very damning.
It is very damning. But I also feel like I hadn't seen these rumors until he agreed to the drug test. So I kind of feel like he's giving it more legs.
Yeah. But also like when I was watching him, I literally said to you, I'm like, if this guy wins, he's going to be the biggest douchebag in all of Italy. Like he was just like feeling himself. And like now that he won, he like thinks he's so great.
Yeah.
So he's obviously like, I just got the vibe that he was like a douche and like really like... wants to be famous. Mm-hmm. So I think like honestly all in all this is just like part of his image now.
Yeah, no, maybe he's just like riding this wave and like he's like, oh okay, I'm going viral, like let's play this out.
Right,
that's true.
Also there are a lot of ways to get around drug tests, especially right. if it's not like mandated by the court. Like when you have to submit a drug test like to the government, they like watch you pee. There's nothing you can do to
right
but
he
if
could
no
be doing,
one's
like,
monitored,
an at-home Dwayne Reed one.
And his sister pees in the cup.
Like, yeah.
There's no one monitoring this specific drug test. So, like, no offense. Like, why would I believe you?
Right. And I'm pretty sure, like, cocaine leaves your body in a few
3 days.
And it's been three.
Yeah.
So if he's like, I'll take it tomorrow.
Unless you do it with your hair. I think, like, hair drug tests.
I don't know.
I've never taken a drug test.
We'll keep you posted on the results of this. But mostly we just wanted to talk about Eurovision because it was just really interesting to watch.
It was. And it was like nice to watch when you have no stake in the game. Like you're just truly like an admirer from America. Mm-hmm. But it was really frustrating because we started watching it at 3 o'clock and it was over at like 7. So it was 4 hours just for us to literally watch a competition that was based on nothing.
Right. Truly, truly based on nothing. Because if they wanted someone to win, also like you told us, the person who wins, then Eurovision's hosted in their country next year. So maybe like at Eurovision, they know where it's going to be next year and they've got to make that person win somehow. That I could possibly understand. But then in that case, they could let like the fan votes sort of sway towards, like, I just wish the judges' votes were based on merit.
It made no fucking sense. Yeah. Like, and it was just, I felt like I wasted my whole afternoon.
And I also felt like, at first, when everyone was voting for really terrible acts, I was like, oh, maybe this is a way for them to have their country win if they vote for someone who's, like, not really a good candidate. But then everyone might have had that same idea and voted for the worst people because the worst people were the winners.
It was so shocking, and it really felt like a waste. But I did enjoy, like, watching like this global moment.
Yeah, like, me too.
I kind of felt like left out. And I was thinking like if we were a part of it, like we would kill it in America, you know?
Yeah, and we were also saying that Toast by Claudia Ashray is actually like a very Eurovision song.
It really is because all the songs are original and they're all for the most part, except even the people who won it was rock. Everyone else, it's really like a dance bop, like very, you know, Erica Jane style. Yes. That's literally what Toast is. So I'm just putting it out there. Like if somebody wants to license Toast for next year's Eurovision in Italy, like I would be okay with it.
Yeah, I think that's exactly the future of Toast.
I think it is too.
Okay, you ready for our next story? Another wonderful performance moment.
Pink.
Pink performed her show-stopping medley of hits at the BBMAs, including an aerial duet with her daughter, Willow. Okay, this was, like, really surprising to watch. It was a family affair to kick off her medley of hits at the 2021 Billboard Music Awards. Pink hit the stage alongside her 9-year-old daughter, Willow, for an adorable, acrobatic performance of their duet, Cover Me in Sunshine. Then she went on to sing a medley of her hits. But when I first saw Pink come onto the stage, I was like, okay, that's probably her daughter that she's carrying. But then they started going through the air. I was like, there's no way that's the daughter.
Yeah.
But it was the daughter.
Yeah, no, I know the daughter because I follow Pink on TikTok.
I thought it was like a daughter lookalike.
No, and she's been like promoting this new song, Cover Me in Sunshine, so much. So Willow's been all over the talk.
Yeah.
And I just have to say, like, adore Pink. I'm about to praise her. I absolutely despise that song.
Agreed. I'm literally Pink's amongst her biggest fans. Like, I can't say enough good things. I don't like that song.
Hate it. But not to be negative, I thought it was a wonderful performance. I think, like, it really kind of validated what we know about Pink, but now, like, maybe the world will see, like, she's just, like, a star.
And she's ready to do the Super Bowl.
That was the message.
In case the bigwigs at NFL were like, is she ready? Is she not ready? Last night she said, I'm ready. And if Pink is not doing the Super Bowl this year, I don't want to see, she'll do it eventually, I'm sure. But if it's not this year, then I don't want it.
No, I completely agree. First of all, her vocals are on point. Her songs are such hits. Like, even when her medley, which was kind of small, it was only like 3 or 4 songs, like, the truckers for Pink have arrived.
Yeah, and they're not going quietly, and they're saying Super Bowl this year, not next year.
Yeah, because first of all, she has so many fucking hits that are just mega, mega, like, everyone knows them. Every mm-hmm. generation, it's like, kids on TikTok know it, it's from Mean Girls.
Anthems.
Her performing abilities are unparalleled, like, truly. And she loves a spectacle. Like, every one of her concerts is a mini Super Bowl. The aerial, the flipping, the harness, like, that's what a Super Bowl is. It's a true spectacle, and that is her specialty, and I don't know why it's taken this long.
Yeah, I don't know why either, but she is ready, and Willow's ready too, because I was truly shocked to see that her daughter is an acrobat as well.
Yeah,
like, that
it was really
I
sweet.
Was like nervous, but obviously they know what they're doing, but I was just like, wow. I was really impressed.
You were speechless, apparently.
No, I was really impressed. It takes a lot to, like, impress, especially at an award show.
Yeah, like, from a kid, you know?
Yeah, and she had said before when she was interviewed on the red carpet, she was like, the first 3 minutes of my show are maybe my favorite performance I've ever done. And I was like, I feel like celebrities are always saying that to, like, hype themselves up. And now I understand.
But let's talk about the BBMAs, like, a little bit. Because
sure.
It was super boring.
I watched up until Pink performed.
Me too.
And then I was like, goodbye.
It was really boring. And it's just one of those award shows. It's like whoever shows up gets the award. Like,
yes.
Not
a lot of people showed up.
Right. So, like, oh, I wonder who's going to win the country award. Maybe the only person who's here, Gabby Barrett, won both of them. Like, it was just obvious and, like, kind of stupid. And you don't really watch up for the awards because, no offense, they're kind of meaningless. You watch for the performances. I saw a bunch. I thought Doja Cat was great. And SZA, like, they're just, like, a dynamic duo. I love Doja Cat.
So good.
I feel like in something. She's just, every song is a hit, thanks to TikTok.
Every song is a hit.
And when I was watching the BBMAs, I was just really thinking, like, And I thought this, I remember thinking this last year too, like I know every single one of these songs only because of TikTok. Like I've never heard them on the radio. I don't listen to them on Spotify, but I know every word because of TikTok. And it's actually, and Tanya Rad did the pre-show. She was like the Juliana. It was actually crazy. Like she did the whole thing and she did amazing. Like she spoke to the Jonas Brothers, Pink, literally everyone. She did incredibly. And all the, so much of the interview questions like were so naturally about TikTok, especially with Doja Cat. Like it's the impact TikTok has in the music industry is truly unparalleled.
Yeah.
But the show was boring, honestly.
Yeah, it was pretty boring. I was happy to turn it off and get back to my book. I just want to say, like, I thought AJR was really good.
I have no idea who that is.
Okay, they sing that song, Let's Go Out with a Bang. That was from the Kardashian commercials.
I don't know it.
You would know it if you heard it, because even Zach knew it, and we're, like, the oldest people alive.
Yeah, you really are.
So, I just liked AJR. Just want to say that.
Now you're a big AJR girly?
I'm a big AJR girly. And the lead singer, like, had his own thing going on.
Oh, are you into him?
No. That wasn't, was Zach getting jealous? I was about to say, that wasn't my personal thing. Oh. But he had his own thing. He was doing his own thing.
I respect people who have their own things.
And they do their own thing.
Do.
They do da-do.
Their own thing. Do-da-do-da-do-day.
No, it was an interesting just sign of the times of, like, who's around and who's not around.
And who's showing up and who's not showing up. It was nice to see Drake.
Oh, I didn't get that there.
What
I didn't
a handsome
see him.
Man.
I didn't see him. I thought Nick Jonas did a good job hosting, kept the show moving. Yeah. I know it pains you to say something nice about him.
But it doesn't. Like, I'm more than happy to say nice things about Nick Jonas. I just, like, didn't really know what he was doing there. You know what I mean? Yeah. He's, like, too famous for that.
No, I know. And I wondered why he even would do that, especially because, like, hosting is now, like, the worst job in the business. But he didn't even try to be funny. He was just like, I'm getting you from A to B.
No, and I appreciated it. But I do think part of the reason, because I agree, I don't know why he would take it. He's more famous than that, and he's getting awards, not giving them out.
Yeah.
Like, it was just bizarre. I do think that he's, like, very eager to do things separate from his brothers, like be a Jonas brother, but also be Nick Jonas. He's in this movie coming up. He's got the Spaceman. Like, he very much wants to.
Oh yeah, he has Spaceman.
Yeah, he very much wants to be his own thing in addition to being a Jonas brother. And I think that this was just one more part of that. I don't understand the eagerness to, like, not be a Jonas brother when, like, the Jonas Brothers are the greatest thing that ever happened. And Kevin Jonas, like, actually looked really hot last night. So I think that's why.
Okay, cool. I agree. I don't understand the eagerness, but you know what? Like, everybody, you need to fulfill your passions.
That's true.
Otherwise you'll resent your brothers.
And we are always, always, like, talking about and pushing our passions forward here at the Morning Toast. And we should be more supportive of Nick Jonas following his passions.
I'm completely supportive of him.
Oh, I'm not. Right. I'm just like, be a Jonas brother and stop.
Yeah. But sometimes that's not enough for someone. I can't imagine. I can't relate. Can't fucking relate. But I guess that's how he feels.
Okay.
Are you ready for our next story?
Only if it's a story that's brought to you by Hair Food.
It is.
Hair Food offers super simple, superfood inspired products that will make your hair look and feel amazing. Whatever hair texture or hair type you have, Hair Food has a recipe for you. In addition to their beloved nourishing coconut milk and chai spice collection, you've got to try some of their new recipes. The apple cider vinegar hair rinse, which is perfect for days when your hair needs a gentle cleanse before conditioning and there's no shampoo required. Apple cider vinegar has so many benefits for your hair, and so I love that they're using it in their product. The rinse is amazing. Also, the detangler. It's an turmeric and almond oil detangling milk. It's not just for kids. It takes care of stubborn knots. Perfect for, like, the summer, you know, when you get all chlorine in your hair. And also, they have a shea butter and pear color repair concentrate. So if you color your hair and your hair is maybe slightly overprocessed, it can make it look vibrant and healthy. All the products smell so good, and all the products are free of sulfates, parabens, dyes, mineral oils, and are certified PETA cruelty-free. So if you're looking for nourished, healthy hair, it's got to be Hair Food. Look for it at Amazon, Walmart, and Target.
Love it. Okay, next story. Some fun news. Kendall Jenner had a star-studded launch party on Friday night for her new liquor brand, 818 Tequila. Her famous family, including her sisters Kylie, Kim, Chloe, and her mom Chris, no Courtney, by the way, because she was out supporting Travis, came out for the party at the Nice Guy in West Hollywood and documented the occasion on all their social media channels with some sickening photos. Other celeb guests included Hailey Baldwin, Kate Hudson, and Katy Perry.
That's so weird. I literally was just like, who's Hailey Baldwin? Her name is Hailey Bieber now. Like, that's how I literally think of her.
Oh, that's so true. To me, they're interchangeable, but Bieber is taking the lead.
No, but I was like, Ireland Baldwin was there? Like, I literally did not know who Hailey was.
That's
crazy. So weird.
Wow.
Yes. So there are very few things that, like, I wake up in the morning and see and, like, actually am furious that I wasn't invited to. Like, not in any world that I would be invited, but, like, that looked like the best party. First of all, it's all about tequila, so everyone was probably just so drunk. Kendall really does have, like, the coolest friends, you know, like, Hailey. Like, I love that crew. And Kylie was there. She looked amazing. The stories, like, I watched Kim's stories 100 times. Like, it looked so fun. And I just, like, I woke up, like, really sad that, like, I'm not a part of that social circle, even though, like, in what world would I be? But, like, you know me, I'm, like, delusional. Like, I was really upset.
Oh, wow. I was really happy to, like, see this party. It just looked...
Two different girls.
No, yeah. I was, like... I could not handle being there. Like, you...
Oh, I could.
You would be great.
I would work
like the for me, room. I just, like, I'm just so glad that this is happening. Like, for them, I'm so glad that they're, like, sharing content. Everyone looks so amazing. It did look so fun. There were, like, fun, funny videos, lots of TikToks made, like, great photo moments. And they're really doing the most for 818. They're doing as much as they possibly can.
I know, and it's, like, difficult because I do believe 818 is only currently available in California. Mm. So I love the press and I love the marketing, but, like, I can't even buy it.
Yeah, and it's, like, at this point, I mean, I probably won't try because I wouldn't know, like, what good tequila is versus bad, but, like, I'm sure at this point you're curious.
I'm sure it's fabulous. Like, I would drink it.
You think so?
Yeah.
But don't you want to know for sure?
Yeah, no, I'll try it, like, if I ever get an opportunity.
Yeah.
Also, Kris Jenner and Corey Gamble, Kris's outfit was so iconic. Like, she was wearing the 818 vest. I don't know if that's going to be merch, but, like, it was all just so brilliantly marketed because, like, need that vest so badly.
Yeah, the bucket hat.
Everything. Kris looked so cool. Like, she looked cooler than anyone there.
Yeah, no, they're doing a really good job of marketing it. And I'm happy for Kendall because...
Me too.
She's had... Like, I feel like, you know, it's always... Up until now, she's been, like, the face of another brand or this... Or, like, modeling for...
But it's or doing never, collabs with her sisters.
Yeah, she's never... had her own, like, big thing like this. And it, I think it went really well. I saw she borrowed Kylie's lip kick truck to do the 818 track. I saw that too. Which is just, like, we love to see the support.
I'm sure the Kardashians just own that truck. And, like, they use it for different things.
You need
things.
A truck for everything.
For all your businesses. And you know what? Like, I feel like we don't really know that much about Kendall. But what we do know is that, like, she gets really anxious. And, like, so many of her jobs require her to be away from home and to travel a lot. And, like, that's when her anxiety builds up. And, you know, as you get older, you do kind of phase out of modeling. And so I really feel like this is, like, a perfect bridge for her into, like, another phase of her life. Not that she's old, but you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, you want to constantly be evolving.
So I think this is, like, a brilliant marketing move. I think the branding is very cool. There is a little bit of controversy.
Yes. So I have that also. There's a Texas company. Well, there's a lot of controversy about the tequila itself.
Of course. I mean, that commercial was twisted. Like, whoever literally... put her in that outfit and the hair and makeup and then also had her sit in a pickup truck with a broken window with a trash bag over it. Like, it was so offensive and so out of touch. It was atrocious.
Yes. Also, a Texas tequila company. It's called Tequila 512. The CEO, Nick, posted to Instagram this week highlighting the similarities between his brand and her brand. One, they're both three... number names. They're made from the same distillery. They kind of have, like, a same color scheme. And then the 512 is distilled 3 times and 818 is distilled twice. And 818 costs more than 512.
You know, there's definitely something there to his claims, like 100%.
Yeah. To me, this sounds like Kylie Lip Kit and ColourPop.
Oh my God, literally, that's right? A great analogy.
It's like the exact same product, but you're paying for the branding.
Same factory.
Yeah, same factory, everything.
Huh, good call.
Yeah.
And 3 times the price.
Yeah, but you're buying, like, the...
The name.
The name.
Wow, that's actually a really good call. It's a perfect analogy.
Thanks.
Well, if Kylie Cosmetics is any indication, then 818 will be very successful.
Okay, but also Kylie Cosmetics right now is, like, not in operation. I think they're, like, something big is coming, secret project, but, like, I guess if I can't, like, go buy a lipstick right now. Like, the site is down.
I know.
Being transformed.
I feel like they might, because I feel like this is kind of dramatic for a total rebrand, like, with new logos. And I do feel like they need a new logo. It's kind of outdated. I feel like they're becoming, like, a clean beauty company.
You think?
Yeah.
Or it's going to be, like, a hub for all Kylie
skin. She just trademarked Kylie Baby.
And maybe it turns into Kylie Beauty. And it's, like, skin, maybe hair, and she just is, like, doing
more.
That's
a much better idea than mine.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah, that's because, like, definitely it.
Kylie skin, when it came out, I was like, nobody needs this. But now I'm like, Kylie skin's everything.
I use the face wash. And I know, like, there a lot of, like, dermatologists have said, like, they don't like some of the fragrances used. But I base my judgment on skincare for, like, how it works on my skin. Okay. And not, like, what someone on TikTok says.
Agreed. And with that said, I think the best, like, influencer skincare right Covey. Now is Covey.
I was talking to Emily DiDonato yesterday because you have been... I use the vitamin... They have three products.
Yes.
Vitamin C serum and you've been, like, raving about the cleanser, but I have an open cleanser and I don't like to have multiple open products.
Oh, I use a different... I, like, rotate between 3 or 4 cleansers.
But so yesterday...
You gotta keep it fresh.
I finally ran out of my CeraVe drugstore moisturizer and I didn't have, so I went into my cabinet and I got the Covey one and I can't believe I let it sit in my cabinet for, like, a month because it's literally the best moisturizer I've used ever.
It's so fantastic. Like, if you truly use one cleanser, then 2 vitamin C serum and 3 the moisturizer, It's, you don't need anything else.
The whole kit is really gets you covered from start to finish. And Emily DiDonato is a toaster, so like that makes me like the brand like a little bit more. But it's really, I agree. It's one of the best influencer brands out right now. Or not influencer.
I'm almost out of the cleanser because I also put in my travel bottle to take with me to like Pritikin and in Nashville. And I'm going to buy more. Like, I love it so much.
Me too.
This is not an ad, just a genuine...
I agree.
Enjoyment of Cubby.
So I think you're definitely onto something with Kylie Beauty. Sounds nice.
Yeah, but I think it's going to be something big like that. So stay tuned.
But it's been like a while. The website's been down like not just since yesterday for like weeks. Yeah.
Yeah. Agreed. So we'll keep you posted. Mystery. But this is a case for the FBI.
Literally.
Are you ready for our next story?
Sure.
Because J-Lo is all smiles with Ben Affleck in Miami.
I'm sorry. I love these people. Well, I love J-Lo. I so don't care. Like, I'm really, really searching high and low for a fuck to give. And I just don't. Like, okay, cool. They're back together. Like, what should I do? Go throw a parade?
I don't know. Because up until this point, like, I really thought they were just, like, working on a new business venture or something. But now these pictures are really pointing in the direction that, you know, Bennifer is reunited. Better than ever.
The one thing I do like have energy for is the fact that like this is such a slap in the face to A-Rod after he literally slapped her in the face like with the whole Madison LaCroix thing. Yes. So I love that part of it. And A-Rod is like obviously spiraling. Like his posts on social media have been so weird. And also, did you see he started a makeup company for men? It's called like His and Hers or something.
I did see because I saw that picture that was like going viral.
Which I actually think is not a bad idea. There is some guy on TikTok I've like seen. He's like a small business who like makes concealer for men and like he's literally just got put out of business. But I thought some of the promotional imagery was very provocative and very weird. I just saw this like picture of A-Rod putting on concealer. And it was just kind of disarming. And he looked very bizarre. And I can't stress, like, I actually think it's a great idea. Like, I think Ben sometimes needs concealer. Like, he has such puffy under eyes. Like, I think it's a good idea. But, like, just something about seeing this picture really, like, just threw me through a loop or whatever the fucking phrase is. Flew me through a loop.
No, and it's, like, the picture is kind of jarring. But then also, like, everyone's talking about this picture. It's actually pretty good marketing for his brand.
He just looks like, I don't know, he just looks weird, like, sitting at his vanity, like, putting on concealer. And not to be mean, like, I really do believe, first of all, there is a space for, like, you know, manly men, you know, makeup.
Wearing makeup, yeah.
Because they need it. Like, I see sometimes people out on the street with pimples. I'm like, girl, like, I would never leave my house like that. Like, neither should you. Like,
men need makeup. Why is it okay for you?
Yeah, they need to start putting forth some more effort. Like, I agree with the mission behind the company. I just can't explain, like, why something about the photo just, like, tickled me in the wrong way.
I agree. I do agree.
And I just, like, I actually went from, like, being obsessed with A-Rod to, like, wanting to see him hurt. Like, I'm so mad at him for what he did to J-Lo.
Yeah.
And I know that this Bennifer thing is definitely bothering him because like people are obsessed with Bennifer in the way that they used to be obsessed with A-Lo, and I know he's jealous, like I know he is, and that makes me happy because I'm so team Jennifer.
And it's like they were so obsessed with A-Lo J-Rod for so long that you didn't think that her next relationship could be bigger and better, but it's actually like so much bigger, so much better.
And they have an even better couple name, like Bennifer is iconic.
Yeah, no, and it like harks back to, and it's just everything. And so yes, while I agree, like just Ben and Jennifer, like
okay, whatever.
Whatever. But when you add A-Rod to the mix, I'm like, so beyond here.
Like, think of how embarrassing it must have been for J-Lo to not only be caught up in some scandal with her fiance, but when that fiance is talking to, like, a 25-year-old reality star. Like, that's just, I love Madison LaCroix, but it's beneath J-Lo.
Yeah.
To even, and so, like, whatever A-Rod is feeling right now, like, he is so deserving of.
Yes,
I agree. I'm very upset with him.
I agree.
Clearly.
Well, you ready for our fifth and final story?
Only if it's a story that's brought to you by BetterHelp.
It is.
Is there something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? Well, BetterHelp is here and they will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist where you can start communicating in under 48 hours. BetterHelp is not a crisis line. It is not self-help. It is professional counseling and it's all done securely online where you can log into your account anytime and send a message to your counselor. Then you'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room as you do with traditional therapy. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. Visit BetterHelp.com/toast. That's BetterHelp.com/toast to join the over a million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. Again, if you want a special discount, go to BetterHelp.com/toast and you'll get 10% off your first month. So many people have been using BetterHelp that they're recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. BetterHelp.com/toast for 10% off your first month.
Love it. Okay, fifth and final story is a little tech news. Snap, I don't know if you remember them, Snapchat, will be buying an AR company, Wave Optics, for over $500 million. They're making a big push into augmented reality technology. Really quickly,
this reminds me, I want to talk about the WeWork documentary after this because I watched it.
Okay, great. Snapping said Friday it will acquire Wave Optics, a British augmented reality company, for over $500 million. The deal, first reported by The Verge and confirmed by a spokesperson, will help the owner of photo messaging app Snapchat push its way into a future where AR eyewear could be ubiquitous. They really believe that AR is the future and they're trying to push it on everyone. I thought that that's what the Snap spectacles were.
Yeah, I just feel like they've been talking about like AR and VR forever and like it really never like took off.
I agree.
Like, of course, and people, I don't know anyone who has VR goggles or AR. Are they the same thing?
Augmented reality, virtual reality.
Whatever. No, not the same. I know people, like, who have done it, like, experimentally, like, in their houses. Like, nobody owns VR and, like, hangs out in their VR glasses. Yeah. Like, I just think this whole augmented virtual reality was, like, a trend a few years ago, and it really never took off. And I just feel like maybe it's time to let sleeping dogs lie.
Yes, but then I was actually in a conversation last week about NFTs, and I was learning, I'm not in the world at all, but I think like with the rise of NFTs, they're also like AR, VR, there's like other worlds that people will be living in.
Got it.
And spending time in and buying.
She's getting it's emotional.
An emotional subject. And buying like things in other worlds.
I mean, the whole
other realities.
Other reality thing just reminds me of that Black Mirror episode with Landry from Friday Night Lights where he ends up like kidnapping people from his office and putting them in that virtual like spaceship and then they find a way to kill him.
Yeah.
And he like dies in the video game.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, it reminds me of the Black Mirror AR VR reminds me of the Black Mirror episode where those two friends keep playing this video game where
I have not seen it.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So there's two friends, they both put on their VR goggles and get into a video game where they each pick a character that's not like them at all. And in the video game they're playing against each other all the time and they spend they're just fucking the whole time like
what
they're two
the two, I did not think that's what you were gonna say
the two video game characters like are in love with each other like they both these guys are like friends like buddies from college and they'll log on
are they like straight guys
they're straight guys I think like they're married and like they would log on at night and like go fuck their buddies video game character they were like in love in the VR and then in real life like they would never they right. weren't into each other in real life but they had this like whole other life in the video game and they had to, it had like come to terms with it and I think the way that it ended was like oh sorry spoiler alert because the wife like found out what was going on and the way that ended is like I think like once a year they got to like play their video game and like
stop them crying
and like see their long lost lover
that's like Brokeback Mountain like they used to only be able to see each other once a year also I just can't, I like refuse to support Black Mirror as an institution after they literally destroyed me. When they made me watch that Prime Minister fuck a pig.
Stop.
Because his daughter, or the princess's daughter was kidnapped. And the second he started fucking the pig to completion, which of course he couldn't do. So he had to go for like 2 hours.
Stop.
And then they let the princess go. That was the last episode of Black Mirror I ever watched. And every couple months I think about it. And it's so upsetting. Like, it was the worst thing I ever in my whole life. And I've seen some fucked. It is the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. Like, it brings me. I have trauma. Like, real PTSD trauma from it.
Yeah, I totally agree. That was so unnecessary.
So, by the way, nobody asked for that. Like, so fucking unnecessary.
Yeah. And, like, the moral of the story is, like, because everyone was, like, they let her out, like, the minute. Like, right before the broadcast started. So if not everyone was, like, fixed on their TV screens, they would have known.
Yeah. She was, like, running through the street. Sick.
Sick.
Oh, my God. I honestly, I don't know if I can go on with the show. Like, once it gets in my head, I'm, like, so mad that we're talking about it because you don't understand how this literally haunts me. Haunts. Okay. But can we go talk about the WeWork documentary? I watched it on Friday night because you told me about it. And me and Ben were like, I had a lot of thoughts on it.
I had a lot of different feelings about it. That's why I'm glad we're talking. I don't know if I said all my feelings on the show because, like, on the one hand, I was like, this
dramatic
is,
much.
Yeah, dramatic much. On the other hand, like, this guy was definitely, Adam was just like
a freak.
A freak.
But that's not a crime. No, I just think the whole documentary was so dramatic. And I was like waiting for him. Like, okay, when does he start killing everyone? I'm like, they just made it seem like he was such a bad guy. And he was a freak. And him and his wife, the only thing they were really guilty of was doing too much too fast. Like, and if WeWork had just stayed being WeWork and they didn't try to have the schools and the living facilities, like, that was fucking weird.
Yeah, but like people lived there and then
and they loved it. Those people were so the happiest they'd ever been in their lives. So I thought they, I think like
that's it's, what I was, I think I said on the show, like they were really doing that shit. Like they were talking, like even the camp, like they put it on, like it's literally Fyre Festival, but they made it happen.
No, it's not Fyre Festival.
No, I'm sorry. It's what Fyre Festival like should have, like the infrastructure, yeah. Like they made these things happen.
And we were watching and I'm like, wow, can't relate to being that big of a loser to like ever going to a WeWork summer camp. But these people are having the time of their lives and like no one's getting hurt. So I just didn't understand why the documentary like was hell bent on villainizing this guy, Adam, when his really only mistake was mismanaging his money and his business and thinking that he was like godlike. And
yeah,
they were trying to paint him like a Keith Raniere. So I'm like, okay, when does the branding start? But there was no branding. Like, I feel like he was a freak and it definitely sucked that like all those people got laid off and he walked away with $1 billion and is still waiting for another $500 million from SoftBank to this day. Definitely unfair.
Yeah.
Again, that's just how these tech things work. People step down to CEO companies and get hundreds of millions of dollars. Like, that's just the world we live in. And at the end, when that girl was like, I lost my purpose and like it was so unbelievably dramatic. I was like, girl, it's just a job. Like, it was just, I was not feeling sympathy for these people at all when like I should have been, I guess.
I agree.
I just thought they really like were trying really hard to find an angle on this story when it is actually really interesting how you go to market at $47 billion and no one buys your shares and you end up at $10 billion. And there was an interesting story there to how they were like, you know, considering their numbers. Like they weren't, I don't think they were being like deceptive in like how they crunched their numbers. And I think that's an interesting story, like for like a financial documentary. But my God, were they being such drama queens? And honestly, that guy, the bald guy who works for NYU Stern, he was so funny when they were saying like in their mission statement, like, we are a collective of creative. And the guy was like, you literally lease desks. Like,
you chill. Know, it's office space.
It's like, and how much they didn't want to be a real estate company when literally they're a real estate company.
Well, obviously, Adam never watched The Founder because if he had, then he would have known like the value would have been in buying all this real estate. And then he wouldn't have been a burger company. He would have been a real estate company.
Yes, but, and that's why I always assume they owned all the buildings that they had office spaces in. And it made sense when they didn't because he didn't start with a lot of money. And that's why he could just lease these random floors for like certain amounts of money per month in order to buy buildings in the city. And that's what they were saying. It is generational wealth. Like you have to be so wealthy to just like pick up a building or own a floor. Like, and that's, I was like, how did he get started? And also what about the other founder who literally didn't say one, he wasn't even in the documentary.
Yeah.
It was like, I don't know. I just felt like they had it out for this guy, Adam. And I can't stress, like if I met Adam, I would despise him.
No, like, and like everything about the we meant like,
We grow, we live. It was so lame.
No, like, and it's like all this like jargon buzzwords that like mean absolutely nothing. Like I have no time for.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. They really were trying to like shoehorn this narrative where it's like, it's, we all were, we all like really were kind of pathetic.
Yeah, no. And honestly, like I feel like the documentary intended to make Adam look bad, but it ended up making a lot of the people who worked for WeWork look like some of the biggest losers I've ever met in my life. Sorry.
I agree.
The documentary was giving me Nexium vibes because I was thinking was like how everyone in Nexium was a huge fucking loser.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even like a cool celebrity cult. It was like your most famous person is a girl from
Smallville.
Like, get better celebrities. Like, and that's how I felt about this documentary. I'm like, where's the drama? Like, what's the tea? Like,
I know, but you know what the tea was a little bit? Like Ashton Kutcher.
Oh.
Going all in.
Thank you so much for bringing that up because the next day, me and Ben watched it on Friday night and we're walking to lunch and we're still talking about it. And I'm like, honestly, I feel like they tried to paint Adam Newman to like look like a loser when at the end of the day, the documentary was worse for nobody than it was for Ashton Kutcher. Like going on this PR like loserdom tour, I was like, honestly, aren't you embarrassed like to be associated? Also, it wasn't great for Gwyneth Paltrow. Rebecca, Adam's wife, is her cousin.
Oh.
And so she was like this freaky deaky, like hippie, like we grow, we live, all these things. She's like, we're not going to be done until we change the consciousness of the world. And so she did like a Goop like panel or something. So like Gwyneth was in the documentary. It wasn't great for Gwyneth, but it was really honestly embarrassing for Ashton Kutcher. Like he should never leave his house again.
But he will.
Yeah.
You know that he will. Yeah, I agree. I had mixed feelings about it. And it just wasn't so, like, why was everyone so hyped up about a Regis office space concept
No.
Like, why was it even $47 million? Like,
because that's the marketing.
That's on Silicon Valley.
No, but that's the marketing. That was, like, Adam's... That's what he brought to the table. It really was, like, people wanted to live there. Like,
yeah.
It was this, like, cult-like community. But they weren't hurting anyone, so it's not a cult.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, like, if you agree to live in a we live, like, that's on you. We're all grown adults. Like, it was really weird.
Yeah.
When he was like, I would have friends come over and they would never come back. Like, obviously, like, what are you doing? It was so bizarre.
I completely agree.
So I said what I said, and I thought it was really fucking weird. And I thought the documentary was just trying to make a mountain out of a molehill. And maybe we're just conditioned to watch documentaries where things are so fucking crazy.
Our minds to be blown. But like sometimes, yeah, I guess it is interesting. We used to see the headlines about WeWork. I think we reported on some of it. I don't think we ingested anything that actually happened because this was all news to me. So yes, it is nice to know what happened. But I agree. Maybe we're just conditioned to like expect the craziest shit from documentaries. And there wasn't anything that crazy.
It was a big, fat, fucking nothing burger.
Nothing burger with a little loser sauce.
No, a little. A lot. So yeah, I would recommend it though, honestly, like the documentary, because like it was interesting. Like there were interesting parts of it.
And I think for me, what was interesting is like with all this like tech companies and stuff and these valuations, like they really don't ever make sense to me. And like
never.
I couldn't wrap my head around how a company like WeWork that actually was really successful and like people were in the door and people are signing up.
It was a great idea.
And they couldn't get enough space. Like, you know, how like
200 locations.
Right. How that becomes not profitable.
Right. Well, that's the whole thing. Like Uber doesn't make any money. That is something I'll never understand. But now they're under new management. WeWork is still in business. I feel like they didn't make that clear enough. I'm like, so is this company out of order? Like,
right. But I also had the thought, I don't know if I said this on the show already, if they could have like chugged along a little longer till COVID and then everything hit the fan, they could have made it seem like COVID was the reason.
Yes, but I was thinking that during the documentary too. I'm like, well, this company was going under regardless because working from home, like your whole business is out.
Your whole business is out. No one's going into the office, let alone with a million strangers in a commune.
Right. In a kibbutz, literally. And by the way, even if COVID hadn't taken them down, the culture now around working is so different that honestly, the concept of shared workspace is a little outdated. Now we're all working remotely. We're not rubbing up against strangers. No, like, they wouldn't have survived.
It's on a need basis who we're going to be next. It's the antithesis of a post-pandemic world. But I think that if they could have gotten to March 2020.
They could have blamed it on that.
They could have blamed it on that. Of like course. So many companies of will course. Do and have done.
Becca Cosmetics, first to go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's cut the chit chat and get on to our interview.
Yes.
So if you're watching on YouTube, there's another video just next on our channel. It is the bold type. We've got Kat, Jane, Sutton. The girls are back together. And it was really, really awesome to talk to them. And if you're listening as a podcast, just keep listening. And thank you guys for listening to the show. We'll see you tomorrow.
Enjoy.
Bye. Welcome back to the Morning Toast. Jackie and I are humbled, honored, and just like so excited for our guests. We have all three castmates. We've got Aisha, we've got Katie, we've got Megan from The Bold Type. You guys, thank you so much for being here. We've been talking about your show for the last 2 weeks on the podcast. We are obsessed, and now you're here. Final season's premiering in 2 days. Like, we're devastated.
Yeah. People are pretty sad about it.
Well, that leads me to my first question. Why?
Well, Freeform.
We do getting canceled.
No. We weren't. That's the thing is, like, I think that it's really cool that, like, I've been on a show where we have been canceled before it's the time, and we don't get to get the chance to, like, wrap it up. And so I think I speak on behalf of the three of us when I say, like, we are very grateful to Freeform for giving us a season, letting us know it's the last one, letting the writers know it's the last one so that they could, like, really wrap up the stories and like give these characters and us the goodbyes that we wanted and deserve.
5 seasons is like so cool.
No, totally. It's amazing. And to be able to end on your own terms is always ideal, you know? But I think for some of us, it's just like upsetting because like we have found comfort in the show and in the development of your characters, but also the characters around you, like Jacqueline and Oliver. And I just like, I don't know what I'm going to do without my gals.
Well, you could rewatch the show.
I already did.
Have you guys finished filming the final season yet?
Yeah.
So how do you feel about the way it ends for your characters? Like, do you feel good about it?
I definitely do. I think people are going to be happy.
We better with you. We better. I'll be so upset. Seriously, unforgivable if we don't see a Sutton and Richard. Like, I get that you had to play with us in season four, but, like, obviously you guys are OTP, and if that doesn't work out, like, just know, like, I will be upset.
Wait, what's OTP? I don't know what that is.
One true pair.
One true pairing. I learned this recently.
Oh, cool.
And that's, like, what you guys are, so I'm glad to hear that from you.
Yeah, I'm glad we got a nod from you.
Yeah, what about you, Aisha? How are we feeling where Kat ends up?
I was actually very surprised. Ooh. I was not expecting it. And it really happened so fast. I was like, what?
Okay, that's good to know. I mean, I feel like the show is successful for so many reasons. But for us, like, I feel two really strong ways about the show. One, I think you guys incorporate social media and just, like, influencers in a really natural way where sometimes, like, you hear, like, TV shows like Emily in Paris, like, talking about influencers, and it's, like, so cringy. You could die. So I feel like it actually makes us feel seen. Like, oh, my God, you guys actually, like, that is how it actually is as an influencer. And I think you guys really handle, like, controversial topics in really approachable ways. Like, one of our favorite episodes was Betsy the Gun. Like, it was so funny, but it was also, like,
Betsy, my girl.
It was valuable.
It was valuable, yeah.
And, like, when you guys are filming those episodes, like, do you guys know, like, that it's gonna be, it's, like, so funny, but it's also very accessible talking about, like, hard things?
I think that we've always, you know, there are some times where we do something that's a controversial topic and we're like, I hope that this it goes over the way it's intended. But I think we have always been able to show the gray area to these topics to be like, oh, you can actually sit and disagree about something and be able to have a conversation about it and, you know, come out the other side maybe with more knowledge and feel more educated about where somebody's coming from. And, you know, I think that that's important in this day and age where, like, so many people just want to live in an echo chamber and don't want to challenge themselves to, like, think about how other people feel or might feel differently. So I feel like we've always handled that. And we have always gotten messages from fans being like, we paused the show and, like, me and my friends talked about it. And I think that that's, like, so cool to have that effect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's super valuable. And also, like, another element that I just feel like really elevates the show is the wardrobe. And Jackie actually pointed something out to me that I thought was so interesting, that, like, some of your characters have worn the same thing more than once, which is, like, how actual girls who work at a magazine live and just, like, normal people. And so, first of all, I love that. And second of all, do you get to keep any of your clothes? Cause, like, they're all so stunning.
We were able to buy some of them this final season. And we did
half off.
Which, by the way, crazy. Most of the stuff that we wear is, like, still a pretty penny. Like, yeah, it's not. But that was, like, one of the cool things about it. It's, like, some of the stuff that I took home, like, I would never buy for myself. So it just felt like a good opportunity. You know, they, like, tailor everything to our bodies and stuff. So why not?
That's true.
And so where do you guys film?
Montreal.
Oh. Even the New York City outdoor scenes.
What?
Yeah, so like
even the city
yeah,
scenes.
Yeah, the outdoor scenes. I mean, in season one, we did get to go to New York and, like, film for a couple days. But apart from that, like, there's a park in Montreal that, like, we cheat as Central Park. And
that is so
interesting. Oh, my God. I thought this whole time that you guys filmed in New York. And we're in New York and we had no clue.
Right.
I can tell because of the scaffolding and I really miss it.
And the construction
literally
noises.
They've been putting up the scaffolding in front of our, like, beautiful our beautiful window, and it's like, hello. And there's, like, construction usually during our show. You'll see, like, a bunch of hot construction guys just, like, working
in the
on
back of our show,
in the back of our show.
Yeah,
so this dog.
Oh, this is Theo. He's a huge fan. He watched the whole series with me a couple weeks ago, and he had some thoughts, but overall he's really pulling for Sutton and Richard, so hopefully you can make that work for him.
For Theo?
Yes.
Theo? Okay. Yeah. I'll put a call in on Theo's behalf.
So the new season premieres in 2 days. How are we feeling? We're obviously sad. We're, you know, bittersweet. But how are you guys feeling about the final season?
I'm excited. I think it's great. I think people are going to like it. And
sorry, Meg.
We're all ready to kind of, like, give it to the world and then sort of move forward down the road.
Yeah. Do you guys film this season during COVID? Did that change how you were able to do some of the stuff?
Oh, yeah.
What were like the protocols?
Take it away, Aish.
Oh, all right. Well, yeah, it changed it a lot. But, you know, what's nice about it was we knew what everyone's face looked like, you know, from their nostrils down, because we've been really blessed to have a lot of the same crew for all five seasons. So I think it would have been a lot harder if we didn't know everyone already and have like cultivated relationships with them. So we all kind of helped each other through it. But yeah, it was really hard. Like, you know, that's part of the reason why I love my job, is that I get to feel like I'm in the circus and like hug people. And so that was really difficult. But, you know, we got through it. And I'm so like, I mean, I speak for all of us, but I feel like we're all so grateful that we got to do it, because, you know, these are like interesting times. So we're very blessed.
For sure.
Well, yeah. We're grateful that you got to do it, because we're so excited. The new season premieres on Freeform on the 26th of May. So we'll be watching. Thank you guys so much for being here. We are obsessed. Like, thank you for the work that you do for the culture, for the community. Like, we love you. Thank you guys. And thank you guys for listening. We will see you tomorrow.
We love you. Thank you so much.